Acts chapter 3. Topic today is a notable miracle. It's always interesting to see the things that God emphasizes in His Word. Sometimes we can hear about testimonies, and they're wonderful to hear about testimonies and deliverances, and obviously good news from a far country, good news from a close country, wherever it comes from, we're thankful. And we learn things from them, but the things that God has recorded in His Word are the ones that He wanted recorded for specific reasons. And there were a lot of deliverances and miracles in those days. Well, God had certain ones recorded. And so when it comes to doctrine and understanding what God wants us to understand, those are the ones that we go to. Because, experience is wonderful, and we should always have experiences based on God's Word. That's the best experience. But when it comes to learning, we look at what God had recorded, and significantly for doctrine, for what we're to believe. This miracle here we're going to look at in Acts chapter 3, the timing is interesting because it's the first one after Pentecost that's recorded. So Jesus Christ was no longer around. He was gone. So there's a very distinct change in what was happening in the Bible lands. There are two whole chapters dedicated to this miracle, which is a lot of text for one deliverance. So there's interesting from that point of view. It's also interesting what is recorded around the whole miracle that took place in the temple area in Acts chapter 3. So we'll look at a few things, just fun to read this section, but let's see what we can learn about for our sakes. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, roughly. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So he was the temple area, hadn't walked since he was a child, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So, when he said, "I don't have any money, what I do have, I'll give you," what he had was the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what he was going to give him. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And it says in verse 7, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." So, even that particular occurrence right there is interesting from a lot of respects. Jesus Christ was gone. Healing was still available. It didn't leave with him. Here was a situation, a wonderful situation, and an immediate healing of a man who had never walked. And well, as you all know, he's 40 years old, hadn't walked his whole life. Immediately healed. Very significant event that Jesus Christ was gone. Because you could have think, and you actually do hear people today say things like, it doesn't happen anymore, and all these things you hear. But what the scriptures tell us, that even after Jesus Christ was gone and had been raised, here's an amazing miracle. And let's keep reading. "And he leaping up," verse 8, "stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." You can almost, this guy never had walked. You'd think he'd be very, very excited. That's why he's walking and leaping and praising God. I can't imagine. It's hard to get your mind into all that happened there. If you hadn't walked for 40 years, what would you feel like doing? You probably weren't going to sit in quiet in the corner and say, "Well, that was really nice." No, he got very excited as he should. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And I know we were talking about this last week. I was trying to get an understanding of how much time passed between the resurrection and this record. I think it's pretty close, but there were a lot of miracles in the Jerusalem area when Jesus Christ was there. So it's interesting. It says people were filled with wonder and amazement. It shows you how, you know, how things don't stick very much when it comes to those kinds of things. They don't stick. Surely, and there had been, you know, raisings from the dead, lepers healed, maimed made whole, thousands fed, and they say they were filled with wonder and amazement. Interesting statement. And as the lame man, verse 11, which was healed, held or, you know, clung to Peter, and as you would, you know, 40 years, hadn't walked, these are the guys that just did it for you. He was very thankful. Held them. All the people ran together onto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, another part of the temple, Solomon's Gate or Portico, greatly wondering. You know, and there, another reason we look at these is, what can this teach us about us and how we too can operate the same power that the men of Peter and John operated? And there's a lot in here about that. There's a wonderful verse. And it says in verse 11, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. Right. Holiness is reverence or respect, right, towards something. He said, and this is really wonderful teaching for us. He said the power does not originate with us. You know, when you read something like that, and you're involved in a ministering situation, and you have to heal somebody, or you're being asked to heal somebody, or you want to heal somebody, whatever it is, to me, it's an incredible comfort to know that the power does not originate with me. Because then I would bring my own inabilities, my thinking, the things that I might bother, you know, I might have problems with into the situation. Yet here's Peter and John say, what are you looking at me for? Why are you looking at us? It's not by our own power. It does not originate with us, which to me is very comforting. Or holiness, how we walk. You know, the depth of godliness we've achieved in our lives and how close we are now. It's got nothing to do with that. And that's really good learning when it comes to healing and deliverance. Not just to minister, but for our own lives. If I get caught up in thinking, okay, you know, and it's really, really crazy thinking if you think about it. First of all, what does it say in Romans chapter 3? It says, when did God save you? When you deserved nothing. There wasn't a single thing you ever did that was good, that was worth it, that could ever buy you salvation. All of a sudden you're saved, and now he's going to require all kinds of things from you to heal you? It's silly, isn't it? But that can be some of the way we start thinking. Well, I just don't do enough things in my life. I just don't read enough of the Bible. I don't do enough of this. I don't witness to people. I get scared sometimes. And therefore, God couldn't possibly heal me. Or I couldn't possibly. And that's all nonsense. It's all nonsense built in that little statement. Why are you looking at us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? That's pretty good learning. I mean, I find that comforting. And we learn more. There's more of a resume here, which is wonderful, of what it takes to walk with the Lord in this section, which is just powerful for us. So he says, not by our own power or holiness. So there's got to be something else. Right? We had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you crucified, whom you delivered up, sorry, denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. This is his response to them, you know, how this miracle took place, by the way. This is his response. He tells them, you guys killed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the Prince of Life. You guys killed him. and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name. Not by our own power or holiness. This is the opposite. This is not our, but faith in his name hath made this man strong. And if we look at verse 6 again, what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Faith in his name hath made this man strong. So it's not faith or confidence in your power. It's not your power, nor is it faith and confidence in your holiness and the way that you may walk, you know, tightly, never making any mistakes in your life. Right? Nothing to do with that. Faith is in the name of Jesus Christ is what it takes. He said, faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. Believing in him, whom you see and know, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, this deliverance here, this deliverance that happened here, and that it was believing in the name of Jesus Christ, again, was a proof of the resurrection. He said, look, God raised him from the dead. Now he's raised, and believing in his name hath brought this deliverance. So what does it take to see deliverance like this? Faith and confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. We know from Philippians, God gave him a name that is above every name. You know, at his name, every knee must bow. We know the doctrine. But you see here in practice here, they're actually executing on that doctrine that was revealed to the Apostle Paul later. In fact, much later. And here they're walking in that same doctrine that God had Paul write down for us. Faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Has that changed? Did it require Jesus Christ to be physically walking around on the earth as a man? Did not require that. All it required were these men saying, hey, I'm going to give you what I've got. And it's not my power. And it's not the way that I walk so holy all the time. It's faith in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I find that very, very, very comforting to think about. And again, here it says, have given him this. You know, and I think about the deliverances that you've seen. Again, just to go back up a little bit here. Because if it had to do with the ability with which you walk and how good you are, you know, then it's hard to explain some of the healings that Jesus Christ did. You know, people who had maybe just met him for the first time. I mean, these people hadn't taken multiple classes on studying the scriptures, had they? He just came, what do you want? That I might see. Okay. By your, be it unto you according to your believing. That's it. 10 lepers. 9, 10, all 10 healed. Only one gave thanks. So those other 9, great depth of character. Yet they got delivered. Faith, confidence. And he, that's why you can see Jesus Christ saying things like it takes a grain of mustard seed. Because when the faith is there, the rest of the stuff that we seem to have a lot of emphasis on becomes of no value or no import when it comes to deliverance. Not by our own power or holiness, but faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Hasn't changed since that day. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot. By the way, verse 16 says, perfect soundness, perfect health, no issues, perfect, complete health, okay? If Gladys was here, I would have said, completa sanidad. Look that up in the... That's what happens when you have these parallel versions. You go, I wonder what it says in the Spanish. That's for Gladys. 18, but those things which God had before had shown by the mouth of all, and this is interesting what's surrounded this, verse 17, and now brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did this, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. And we're going to see him mention the prophets. They all said this was going to happen, and this is what happened. This is all surrounding this notable miracle. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Second time mentioned. So the prophets told about the coming of Jesus Christ. The prophets also told about the next coming of Jesus Christ. He said, all that you're seeing here is exactly what God had said by the mouth of his prophets. Verse 22, for Moses, another prophet, truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, talking about Jesus Christ. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's pretty serious. That's what it says. It says if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, it will not end well for you. I don't think people want to hear that. That might, you know, cut across some people's sensibilities in the wrong way. It might even offend the odd person. That's what it says. Destroy it from among the people. Verse 24, yea, and all the prophets, unless you missed it the previous two times I said it, yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, all of them, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. They all spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ. They all talked about what he would do. This is his response to, how did you guys do this? Talked about Jesus Christ, and he said God had told everybody. You know, he's saying you should really know this, shouldn't you? This is what God had spoken about a long time ago. So faith in the name of Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ he's talking to him about. He said everybody's talked about him, including Moses. And then you know how much Moses meant to those people, quite a bit. Verse 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. See, he again attributes this notable miracle to all that God had planned in Jesus Christ. He said it's just a consummation of everything that all the prophets had said. Verse 1, chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid whole hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. I see, 5,000 people believed. One miracle. 5,000 people. Do you ever wonder why the adversary might work very hard to talk you and me out of the delivering power in the name of Jesus Christ? 5,000 people believed. And that's just men, right? 5,000, that's a lot of people. Today they might even call that a revival, right? 5,000 people believed, one miracle. You want to talk about a notable miracle? Not notable because the people who said it, we'll see who says it later. Not notable because of them. We'll see why they thought it was notable. But for us, it's notable from other respects. To understand how we can have faith and confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. And that it's still available today. It hasn't changed. That name still does today what it did in the days of Peter and John. It hasn't changed. And then now we learn something else about these kinds of miracles. Verse 4. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, people, important people, at Annas, the high priest, And Caiaphas and John, these are the people who were trusted with the oracles of God. The guys who were supposed to be teaching the truth of the scriptures to the people. That's who we're reading about here. So sometimes people put a lot of, you know, confidence in the big Christian organizations of the earth. Well, it's all down to scripture. And when they had set them, verse 7, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? You see, they understood that you could have authority in a name. They understood that concept, that truth. And they just asked them, well, how did you guys do? What's the power? What's the name? Isn't that the same question Peter just answered? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next day, they're here they are again, and they're going to answer this question again. Verse 8, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Yeah, I don't know better. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent, crippled, or man, by what means he is made whole. Here it is again. He's answering the question again. They asked him, if, you know, he told them before. What? And let's see if the answer has changed in one chapter. Hopefully not. Verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, be it known unto you all, you elders, you leaders of the people and who know God's word, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Again, it's a confirmation of the resurrection of Christ. That's why this power, we know from Ephesians chapter 1, God wrought that power in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We know that from Ephesians 1:19 and 20-21. That's what he's talking about. The power, even by him, by the name, by him, Jesus Christ, not by me, Peter, not by me, John, not by how wonderfully I walk, does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And we know about that stone where Jesus Christ had told them, some of you are going to stumble, and on whomsoever that stone falls, it'll crush. All bad reactions to the stone. He goes, that's a bad, that those are all bad. But he's become the head of the corner. Shouldn't have stumbled at him, shouldn't have allowed it to fall on you. You should have trusted in that. All that the prophets that you guys talk about all the time spoke about, and you missed it. Neither, verse 12, is there salvation in any other. My apologies to all the other prophets and so-called holy men that have ever lived. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's it. There's no other. There isn't one. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, made whole, delivered, saved from the wrath, all of it. There isn't a single name other than the name of Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege, authority, and blessing to be able to use that name. That's what Peter was saying. I'm just going to give you what I've got. Now when they saw the boldness, and here it is, I love this, because this adds more to the resume of what it takes to walk in God's power. So we just learned a couple of things. We learned that it's got nothing to do with our power. I'm gonna make a resume for myself. Tick that box, right? Got nothing to do with my holiness. Tick that box. Now we learned two more boxes we can add to our resume. Here it is. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. That is perfect. I can tick all those boxes. Right? I'm happy to take those boxes. That's what the Word of God is showing us. Here, you guys don't know. You guys aren't trained. You're not educated. They're like, yeah. Such as I have, give I thee. Right? That they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. Oh, these guys have been hanging out with that Jesus character. Right? They've been hanging out with Jesus. That's what they saw from Peter and John. Is that what I, like, you know, if there's anything that we aspire to in life, right? Wouldn't it be for us to be able, for people to look at us and to be able to walk, say, oh, you really know Jesus Christ. Not because you're so wonderful but that you walk in service to God to bring deliverance to people's lives and you speak God's word. You guys have power, real power. You guys were hanging out with Jesus Christ. So guess what? They knew. They knew Jesus Christ had power, and they still didn't want to have anything to do with it. Right? This goes to you. I mean, what these men do to Peter and John should be a really, you know, I know it is, a wake-up call to us. That there is a real movement in the world. There will always be a movement in the world. There will always be this push to deny everything that Jesus Christ ever accomplished. All of it. And here, first of all, they were grieved that they were teaching about the resurrection. And here they were talking about, oh yeah, you're with that Jesus guy. You would think they would say, isn't it great? You guys were able to do what he taught. No, and then beholding the verse, let's keep reading. And beholding the man, verse 14, which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Think of one normal human being on the face of this earth who walks with a little bit of morality, even an ounce of morality in their lives, who knows any little bit of goodness would want to deny that a man who hadn't walked for 40 years was now walking. Why the hell would you want to deny that? Right? You see that movement. It's not just some kind of undercurrent. It's bloody right in our face all the time. It's an obvious movement to deny the work of Jesus Christ and to convince you and me that these things don't happen anymore. They're gone with the apostles. I know men, great men, who've written great books, who say that miracles are dead, who deny what Jesus Christ made available. You think maybe they were influenced a little bit by this, what's the opposite of undercurrent, overcurrent? I don't know. In your face current, a wave of unbelief and attempt to destroy the work of Jesus Christ, certainly. Okay, let's keep reading. They could say nothing against it. You know they darn well wanted to. We'll see that. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, a little secret meeting, saying, verse 16, what shall we do to these men? How about saying thank you? No. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. Notable. A notable miracle. Not notable because they wanted it done. Notable because it was going to cut across their power and structure. Notable because it wasn't something they wanted done. Notable because it was against what the God of this world wanted, whom they were serving. That's why for them it's notable. For us it's notable because it's the first one after Pentecost. Jesus Christ was gone. And we can see that everything that he made available, that the resurrection made available, was actually available. This is God's record of this miracle. It's what he wanted us to understand from his word. A notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Darn, we really want to, but we cannot deny it. Verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people or anybody else that ever reads the Bible from this day on, right? That's what they would like. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. You know, and verse 19 is really the response that we ought to have in our lives whenever we think about or anybody tries to stop you from speaking God's word or tries to get you to shut up, gets you not to talk about Jesus Christ. And I don't mean just to other people, to yourself as well. Because, you know, we need this sometimes more than anybody we minister to. I don't know about you, but I spend time in my office sitting there talking to myself, and it's not, I'm sure Jane's probably heard me the odd time, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Talking to yourself to convince yourself of what the scriptures say. Because that's what it takes. It takes, and here, let's read this verse. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you, you figure it out. You know, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the attempts to shut us up, to shut down the crucified Christ? Or are we going to listen to what God tells us to do in our own lives and when we minister to other people? Who are we going to listen to? And here he tells those guys, you figure it out. But as for me and my house, remember Joshua? But verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, that still wasn't good enough, they still threatened them. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. You know, they tried really hard. And these days, the legal systems of various countries, they've actually added to their legal system that these kind of things oughtn't to be done. They're against the law. So, you know, those high priest birds are still in business. Finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. You know, notable miracle for us because even when Jesus Christ was here, I know he sent the 70 out. He sent out the 12. But even more than the healing that was available in his time, it's everywhere. This information has reached the whole world. So it's even more accessible, more available than at the times when Jesus Christ was here, is it not? Absolutely. And it confirms the resurrection. It confirms all that the prophets had said. It's a very, very notable miracle. It does not require your own power or holiness. It's clear evidence of the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And we also see how the devil would try to do anything to talk unlearned and ignorant people like we are out of it. You know, and if remaining unlearned and ignorant means that we can walk in God's power, happy to keep those boxes ticked for the rest of our lives, never to say, oh, finally I know something and I feel like I'm fully educated. That's not going to happen, is it? You see, it's really, really simple. These were fishermen, right? Peter was a fisherman, right? He didn't have all the training. He didn't have all the, you know, the things that maybe some of the elders of Israel had and all the training that they had and all the years they'd studied, like Paul the Apostle himself had studied. He didn't have any of that. Yet people could look at Peter and say, I know you were hanging out with Jesus Christ. I know you. Why? Well, you just healed this guy, hadn't walked for 40 years. Maybe that's, and by the words you just spoke about all the prophets and all these things, you know. And that's why for us it's a very, very notable miracle. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. And he said, thank you, I know that. Which has made heaven and earth. Yep, know that too. And the sea and all that in them is. I love how they just talk to God, and, you know, as if he needs reminding. Who by the mouth of thy servant, but it's praise, right? It's God. It's praise to God is what it is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. See, they do everything. You know, sometimes we get worried about a little bit of conservative censorship. How about this? They want to eliminate Christ from life. They want to eliminate what you think from life. Verse 27, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. How many times is the name of Jesus Christ mentioned in these two brief chapters? Right. God's trying to teach us something. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. See, healing hasn't been done away. Healing is still available. Jesus Christ is gone. God heals. Jesus Christ healed. The New Testament, we've been healed in the atonement that Jesus Christ came to bring, which is a constant reality. We have the manifestation of the gifts of healing, and we have the resurrected Christ seated at God's right hand as our high priest, making intercession for the entire body of Christ. So certainly is a notable miracle when you look at, and not from the point of view of the men who said it was notable, but from the point of view as us as believers to recognize not just some of the keys that are responsible, are available, are applicable, let's say, to walking in God's power, that we don't concentrate on the fact I have to generate this power. No, you do not. God wrought that power in Christ Jesus. Or you have to say, I have to walk a certain way in order for, should we walk in the holiness? Of course. I mean, it's foolish for us to even think we shouldn't. But we know we're not going to make it 100%. That's a figure of speech. No, we're not going to make it, and it's whatever percentage. But it's not required to have faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And nor is, unending education and stuff to be taught. It's unlearned, ignorant men. They just said, yeah, I believe that. I'll give you what I believe. And this man was healed, right? So it's very notable from a lot of points of view. And it's also notable that it's a confirmation of all that God had said by the prophets of old that Jesus Christ would accomplish for us. So notable miracle.